Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Live from the DGDG.com studios on the corner of Broadway and Battery, this is the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game. Now, Damon Bruce.
Welcome, welcome. It is great to have you here. A Monday afternoon in the Bay Area, and it seems to be a pretty nice one outside. We should have some good baseball tonight at AT&T Park. First off day of the season for the Oakland A's. A little chance to catch a breath there. We're getting our playoff breaths ready for the NBA and the NHL. We've got playoffs all around us. I like that an awful lot. We got a great show for you today. A full four-hour show for you today. John Dickinson's going to join us. Luis Gonzalez is going to join us. Kirk Lacob will join us. Tim Roy during his final regular season scheduled appearance of the year will join us a little bit later on tonight at 6:30, and I'm looking forward to all of that. Warriors beat the Suns for a record 15th straight time. It was a Clay episode right from the beginning. He scored 22 of his 34 in the first quarter, and he was on fire. I love me some Klay Thompson on fire. Hasn't happened enough this year. Really hasn't. Hopefully that is a sign of good things to come. Warrior fans looking for signs for good things to come. Haven't really had a lot in the last month, especially, it feels. So we'll take it wherever we can find it. You know, you got to go back to last year, basically, to assume that the Warriors are about to win it all this year, don't you? You can't use the information or evidence of this basketball season to believe the Warriors are about to be champions. You need to use evidence of former seasons, prior seasons. And I don't want to say things have changed around here, but they've certainly changed around here to where I can tell you this is the least impressive 58-59 win Warrior team I've ever seen. Which, say that out loud, and if you can say that out loud without laughing a little, good luck to you. I mean, you've really got a great poker face. It's amazing the ceiling, our expectations that we have for this basketball team. And it's pretty obvious that they haven't spent really at any point in time this year meeting those expectations. They say that they're going to be able to flip that switch and everything's going to be okay. Well, that was the promise. Let's see what the promise really looks like, because this is all going to start for real. Game number 82 of the season is tomorrow. Needless to say, the Western Conference is still way up for grabs. Way up for grabs. It's incredible. Absolutely incredible to see how we are 2 days away from the end of the regular season and we still have no idea who's playing who in the Western Conference. It's really amazing. We've got some very interesting breakdowns, who Warrior opponents might be, who schedules might suggest will be the 4, 5, 6, 7 seeds. We'll look at tiebreakers. We got a lot to get into today. We got some homework here on 95.7 The Game this afternoon. Don't mean to scare you away, kids. Don't worry. We'll do your homework for you. I'm not going to ask you to work on behalf of the program. This program is here to work for you. Isn't that right, Gianna?
Yes, it is. We'll do all the legwork for you. So you don't have to.
All of it. All of it. All of it. Who's doing more legwork in baseball than Shohei Ohtani?
Mm-hmm.
This guy's been amazing. Absolutely amazing. At 5:30 today, we're going to have our most amazing thing. We've already planned it. We've got like another segment for Ohtani. So the most amazing thing segment can't be a second Ohtani segment. But it really is amazing what he's doing. Do you realize that the last guy to hit 3 home runs between major league starts was Babe Ruth?
No way.
It was Babe Ruth. So
wow.
The Japanese Babe Ruth is living up to his billing his moniker. And, oh, yeah, he almost went perfect game on the A's over the weekend. He was dominant yesterday. You're lucky to get out of that one alive. Like I said, if there was ever a good time for the A's to have their first off day of the year, feels like today's a good day. Diamondbacks and Giants, it's Zach Godley against Derek Holland, who's making his debut at AT&T Park tonight. As a starter, it's also Irish night at AT&T Park. And I wish that meant more than you can get a Giants hat with a shamrock on it. Like, beer should be 50% off across the board on Irish night, right?
Sure.
Should be beer and free potatoes for everybody. You're just handed a free raw potato to snack on as soon as you walk in.
I'll take the French fry version.
Oh, there you go. A raw potato? It's very crispy. It's like an apple.
I'm good.
Enjoy. Hopefully you plan on enjoying a little playoff hockey because it's coming. Playoff hockey's officially coming to us.
That's fine.
I'm excited about that. Bouton Vixen is already shaking her Donskoy bobble.
Her waist.
Her dancing Donskoy.
Donskoy.
She's already rubbing her shirtless Joe Thornton, but she does that in her free time. That has nothing to do with playoff hockey. I'll tell you, some of these networks just make it hard to do business. I think it's disappointing and a little ridiculous. Gian, and we talked about this last week, it's crazy to me that the Final Four and the National Championship game are no longer on CBS. And when they talk about this is the worst rated National Championship game in a really, really long time, well, that's what happens when you put it on a secondary channel. I'm looking at the San Jose Sharks playoff schedule. They're going to start a series with Anaheim on Thursday, April 12th. The first game's going to be on USA. The second game's going to be on NBC Sports Network. The third game's going to be on CNBC. And the fourth game is going to be on Golf Channel.
Okay, this is why. This is why.
I mean, really, Gary Bettman, every single time I look up, there's something that is substandard about your league. The fact that there are just network after network after network is reluctant or hesitant to even bother carrying hockey shows how bad of a commissioner hockey has at selling its product. How are you not on ESPN anymore? How have you not already got a deal with Fox? How are you not somewhere exclusively easy to find repetitively in the same place over and over and over and over again? I don't get it. What I also don't really get, and I am looking that the Masters, you know, it got itself a big ratings bump, Gianna. Mm-hmm. We talked about this last week when I said just the whisper of Tiger Woods being around Augusta is going to be a big deal. Final round coverage of the Masters. It was the highest rated and most watched golf telecast since the Masters itself in 2015, which was the last time that Tiger was at Augusta. CBS's final round coverage was up 18% from last year alone. This final round was spectacular. Really spectacular. It was a great leaderboard on the second nine all damn day long. You had Spieth charging, coming on strong and fast. Everybody loves Jordan Spieth. We like rooting for this kid. Easy to root for that guy. The guy who's not very easy to root for is the guy who ends up winning the Masters. Patrick Reed is a total loner on the PGA Tour. I heard more about Imagine Dragons than I did his own background because apparently he really likes Imagine Dragons.
Really?
Which would be like waxing poetic how much you like buying milk at Walmart. Like, if you like Imagine Dragons that much, fine. Good. I'm happy for you. But what you're really telling me is you have no musical taste whatsoever and very little exposure to anything other than radio crap. Like, feel free to look for better music than that. You shouldn't get to Imagine Dragons and be like, I'm done. I'm done looking for what I like. This is it right here.
This is the peak.
But he is a real odd duck, and he is on the outs with every member in his family, which is why I'm telling you, I have never, and I've been watching the Masters my entire life. I mean, I have really been playing, I've been paying close attention to a Sunday at Augusta for 30 plus years. because how much attention can you pay to anything when you're like 12 years old and younger? So, you know, for about 30 years, I've been watching a Sunday at Augusta very, very closely. And I'm going to tell you right now, there has never been an about to be crowned Masters champion who was given a more reluctant or passive round of applause walking up to 18 green than what happened yesterday. It was weird. He putts in to win the tournament, and it's like, and instead of players lining up, like when Bubba Watson won the Masters,
I remember.
You had a receiving line of excited PGA Tour players to congratulate him. This guy walked off, he kissed his wife, and that was it.
Well, apparently he didn't have a lot of people there supporting him.
Not only did he not have a lot of people there, he banned his family, who lives in Augusta, Georgia, from attending the Masters. He had his family thrown out of Pinehurst number 2 at the U.S. Open last year and had their badges pulled.
Wow, that's not good.
It is weird. And I've got a big story from golf.com that explains what an odd duck really just won the Masters. And I thought we'd talk about that today just a little bit. No more odd duck for Andrew McCutchen. You are home now, Andrew. Six hits and a walk-off three-run home run to beat the Dodgers means welcome to San Francisco. It's good to see you. We're going to be talking about that today. We're going to be talking about how we have got a Warrior team that says it's about to go win a title, but really hasn't shown us much to convince us that it's going to be as easy as it used to be, if easy at all. Will it happen? We're going to get into that today. Shohei Ohtani's overpowering the Athletics. The Rookie of the Year in the NBA isn't even a rookie, so we're going to talk about that today with you. We've got so much to get into. It's a day like today where we need exactly what we have for you. A full 4-hour show. We got you to 7 p.m. tonight here on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
Clay, right angle, triples up and good. Klay Thompson knocked it down. Klay Thompson with a catch, fakes the shot, takes a dribble, takes another one. He is on fire right now. Thompson with a catch, quick release. Heat check, three, good for Klay. Knocked it down. He doubles the lead. 19-13. He scored the last 11. Well, it was close to 90 degrees here in the Valley of the Sun, but nothing and nobody is hotter than Klay Thompson right now. Beats right corner, gets it over to Klay Thompson. Why not? Lets it fly. Knocks down another one. Klay Thompson. His feet aren't even touching the ground coming down the floor. It's all Klay Thompson here. Thompson catches. Pump fake. Fades into a deeper three. Got another one. Klay Thompson. 8 of 9. 19 first quarter points. He's having an out-of-body experience. Chest pass to Thompson. Catches and fires another three for Klay. He can't see anything. It's his 8th 20-point quarter of his career. He's got 22 of the 27, 19 straight points for Klay Thompson.
Hey, virtuoso first quarter performance from Klay Thompson and our friend Tim Roy with the great calls here on 95.7 The Game. You know, John Dickinson and I did pregame for that show yesterday, and JD's going to join me from AT&T Park in about 10 minutes from right now. And before we start talking baseball with John, I bet you we open up about that performance from Klay Thompson. All of that that you just heard was just the first quarter yesterday from Klay Thompson. That was a Klay montage of just the first quarter. He was unbelievable. And in the fourth quarter, where the Warriors needed to pull away a little bit more from Phoenix, Klay had his signature ready to go all over that.
Klay Thompson up top. Chest pass to Young. Pump fake. Fly by. Throws to Klay in the corner. He'll launch. Three ball. Right corner pocket for Klay Thompson, who has a 29-point game.
Again, that was a fourth quarter bucket. He was feeling it in the fourth quarter as well. Here's a nice pull up from deep.
Klay Thompson hits about a 30-footer coming down the floor, and he knocked it down. Klay Thompson's got 32.
Look, I really don't know what you're going to be looking for to judge where the Warriors are as far as, are they playing all right going into the postseason? The answer is, I don't know. Collectively, they are not worth their individual parts right now. You know, the sum of the Golden State Warriors is worth more than the value of their individual parts in every year. But to this year, where individual parts are pretty much how we're evaluating everything, because getting everybody on the same page is something that Steve Kerr hasn't really been able to do. But for a night or two, all damn season long. So looking for just signs that it's going to be okay, signs that it's going to be just fine and dandy. Klay Thompson having a out-and-out Klay episode right before the playoffs began is a good sign, because remember, Klay, he was a little hit or miss last year in the postseason. He needs to be on fire and on fire early and often this postseason. I don't think the Warriors are built to absorb deficiencies like they were last year. The Warriors were built to absorb no matter who was having a bad night. I don't know if they're built that way this year. Steve Kerr, obviously thrilled to see Klay Thompson, especially coming out like that in the first quarter.
Yeah, that was a scorching first quarter. That was fun to watch. He had the arena pretty excited, too. Every time he went up for a shot after his first few, you could hear the anticipation of the crowd. So, yeah, he had it rolling.
You know, the rule in the NCAA tournament is survive in advance. Right now for the Warriors, it's just no matter what happens, end this game as healthy as you began it. No matter what the outcome is, no matter how you played, the battle cry for the Warriors is simply just come out of the game healthy, which is a far cry from where we were last year.
Yeah, that's a big focus, but that's more luck of the draw than anything, you know. But I'm glad we got through this game in a good way, health-wise, and we did some good things, and one more to go.
One more to go. Cannot end it fast enough. The marathon of the regular season comes down to a last 48-minute sprint at Utah tomorrow. You know, we're going to do the Warriors warm-up. And in the moment of the Warriors warm-up tomorrow, I'm sure I'll get excited about the game. I got nothing going on tomorrow night other than wanting to watch the Warriors wrap up their regular season. But I really mean it. Like, they can't end this fast enough. They can't. They spent the entire regular season letting us know that the regular season to them is meh. Like I said, it's a totally forgettable 58, possibly with a win tomorrow, 59-win Warrior team. You never thought there was going to be a forgettable 59-win Warrior team. But that's exactly what this regular season will be. If they win the championship, that's all we'll focus on. That's where our memories will begin and end, and it'll be like the regular season's doldrums never happened. But I tell you, if they aren't NBA champions at the end of this playoffs, we're going to go back and through this regular season with a fine-tooth comb and just say to ourselves, well, we had evidence presented to us over the course of an entire regular season that suggested they weren't going to be champs. We ignored it. And so we really shouldn't be acting surprised. I have ignored my instincts. My instincts tell me the Warriors are not about to be NBA champions.
Really?
Yeah. So they now have to prove my instincts wrong. And I really hope that they do. I hope their talent level, when healthy, is still so overwhelming to this league that they can, in a matter of 3-4 trips up the floor, make everyone forget about everything and play lockdown defense for the next 20-something games, however long it's going to take you to win an NBA title. If you're going to go back to last year's Warrior team, do it. Do it now. But there's nothing from this year's Warrior team other than the fact that we believe in how good they can be when the lights really go on. You have to be using evidence from another season to say that this season they'll also be champions, which is an odd place for the Warriors to be. Damon, how was your master's nap? Oh, thank you for asking. It was absolutely delightful. It was wonderful. As a matter of fact, my master's nap is more welcome in Patrick Reed's home than Patrick Reed is.
Apparently.
It is a wonderful nap. I had a great weekend, all things considered. I got to do exactly what I wanted to do.
Oh, good.
I made brownies. I did brunch. Made it myself.
Oh.
Yeah. I've been cooking a lot. Watched the Masters. I watched baseball and basketball.
Uh-oh.
Like, I had a hell of a weekend.
It's a good weekend.
I loved it. Came in, did a little radio show, went home, had a good time. Good weekend. Now let's see if the Warriors can be as exciting as my Masters nap. I tell you, I planned for my Masters nap. I really did. I set this day up for it to be perfect. Made sure the wife was out of the house. Made sure that there wasn't going to be some cat walking across my chest to wake me up or anything like that. I planned on this bad boy.
You've been talking about it.
It was wonderful. It was wonderful. You got to go ahead. You got to go ahead and plan the good times.
Just out of curiosity, what was on the menu for brunch? What'd you make?
My famed scrambled eggs.
Oh, good. I make those all the time.
Yeah. And I went with some great, real, really good, like butcher quality bacon.
Oh, like thick cut?
Yeah, which I did in the oven.
Oh.
So it got to perfect temp. And I went Thomas's English muffin,
nice.
Which to me is as good as an English. That's peak muffining right there.
Nooks and crannies.
I love nooks and crannies. Really, really love me a nooks and crannies. Someone's like, Damon, don't you have to watch these brunches? See, here's the deal. As long as you're making it yourself, you can control what's in there or not in there. If you eat at home and cook your own meals, it's hard to eat poorly.
Well, it's all,
you know,
all about,
I mean,
moderation as,
yes,
well. So, you know, and you've,
right,
had 1 week, you can have a little bacon 1 day a week.
I wasn't destroying bacon Monday through Saturday just to have a little bit more bacon on Sunday. Like, I held off on the bacon till I earned it.
Good.
I want the Warriors to earn their damn bacon. They're going to be making bacon? All right, great. I haven't enjoyed a single meal you've served to me really all year long. You're telling me the next meals, the next sequence of meals are about to be delicious? Have you changed chefs? Because I know that your head chef won't be available for the first round. At least you got to cook. See what I did there?
Yep.
And we'll see. We'll see. I'm dying for the Warriors to prove my instincts wrong. My instincts tell me they're not the best team in the NBA. They haven't locked themselves into the mindset that it takes to be the best team in the NBA. And this really is going to come down to the switch that we're so sick and tired of talking about. So tired of it.
Hit the switch!
You better be able to. I haven't seen much evidence that it's there on the wall just waiting for you to push it. Make me wrong. Make me wrong. Make me regret doubting you in the first place. But if you're asking me, do you have doubts? I'm going to tell you right now. Yeah, I got my Warrior doubts. And it's been 3 years since I've said that. 888-957-9570 is the number. We're going to be taking your calls. We're here till 7 o'clock tonight after all. But the man is here right now from AT&T Park. That's where his boots are on the ground.
Sean Dickinson, super reporter, big game bounties, boots on the ground. Sean Dickinson, super reporter, where will he be now? Let's go out to J&D.
Well, we already told you where he is. He's at AT&T Park. We've got Diamondbacks and Giants as they continue their homestand tonight from China Basin. John Dickinson, good enough to join us here. How you doing, buddy?
What's going on, Damon? Good to be with you, man. I almost forgot that song even exists. I'm so used to talking to you on Warriors warm-up when we don't play that song. So it's good to hear it.
It was. It's been a long time. Fans have been asking for it. I'm glad we had a reason to run it past them. And I know we got a lot of baseball to talk about. You're down at AT&T Park today. But let's start with the Warriors. We, of course, did warm-up together yesterday. And it was good to see them win. The Phoenix Suns, obviously, that's the easiest win there is to find in the NBA. They've got the worst record in the NBA. And it was great to see Clay get off early and stay hot. But I've been saying, look, like, you have to use evidence from last year to really believe in the Warriors this year. Just a little. I mean, they're asking us to suspend the reality that we just saw and replace it with the reality that we know from years ago.
I think that's a fair point, but I also think an extension of that is the fact that they're going to have to first survive the first round without Stephen Curry and then figure out a way to get him reacclimated and flip the switch like you were talking about before I came on. So it really is almost a little bit of, to use the college basketball term, survive and advance. They just have to figure out a way to make it to the second round where Stephen Curry can help them, and then as that round goes on, get him integrated into things and try and get back to playing the basketball that we've seen throughout the most part last year and in flashes more so this year, be it due to health or commitment level on both ends of the floor.
Yeah, is this a date that I'm going on? I'm being asked about commitment levels an awful lot when it comes to the Golden State Warriors. What is their commitment level? I hope they really want to get married to the playoffs. I really, really do. Anyways, we'll have much more time to talk about the Warriors, JD. It was good to be doing a little Warrior warm-up with you yesterday. I'm sure I'm going to see you tomorrow ahead of Utah. But you're at AT&T Park, and anyone who stayed at AT&T Park late on Saturday night got themselves served up a real slice of that ballpark's history.
High drive! Left field! It is out of here! His 6th hit of the night sends everybody home. Welcome to San Francisco. Andrew McCutchen, are you kidding me?
Dwayne Kuiper with a call on NBC Sports Bay Area. And yeah, 6-hit night walk-off against the Dodgers. Welcome home, Andrew.
Yeah, it's big time. And really, you look at the Giants, they have 3 incredible wins against the Dodgers this season in 6 games. The back-to-back 1-0 wins to start the year in L.A., and then coming back after falling down in that 14th inning to win that game on the McCutchen walk-off. But it's so funny, you know, the Giants played another classic game yesterday against the Dodgers. They ended up losing that one in 10 innings. But if the Giants had lost, let's say, 2 of those games, they'd be looking at a 2-6 right now, and we'd be looking at their season early on as, uh-oh, it's big-time trouble. So
right,
the
so
heroics.
A little early in the year to talk about how many games you are back at the division leader.
No, there's no question, but the Giants are in a position, and I've said this, you know, when I've been on a couple of other shows, they really aren't, they don't get the benefit of the doubt like a team like the Dodgers would, who's off to a slower start and they haven't been hitting. This Giants team, because they were so bad last year, because of the players that they added and essentially going all in to try and contend this year for a playoff spot, they have to hang in the race. So I think the wins that they've been able to earn in some of those close games so far, the 3 against the Dodgers, and then they beat Felix Hernandez, pummel him all around AT&T last week, those have all been huge, huge wins, because I think at some point, Damon, if this team slips 2, 3, 4 games under 500, has a little bit of a losing streak, I think there's going to be a feeling of here we go again, as far as it maybe slipping away the way it did last year or at the end of 2016. And just having a heroic moment here or there like the one Saturday can just quell all of that from happening. I mean, they're almost in a spot where they have to just hang on until they can get a little bit healthier.
And so it looks like, JD, the question of who will be the Giants' 5th starter got a little clearer of a picture today. It looks like Tyler Beedie is about to be in the ballpark.
Yeah, the 2014 first-round pick. It's taken him a little bit longer than maybe some would have expected to get to the majors. Had an injury last year that prevented him from coming up in September, but added to the taxi squad earlier this afternoon, which allows him to warm up with the team prior to the game today. And they've got the open slot in the rotation, which he's expected to fill on Wednesday afternoon against Arizona, the spot that they haven't had to use yet, obviously, because they hadn't played 5 consecutive days yet and won't until Wednesday. So we'll get to see what Beedie's got in the major leagues against a team that's leading the division and playing very well in the Diamondbacks, who are 7-2 and come off a 2-3 against the Cardinals. They took 2-3 from the Rockies. They swept the Dodgers going back to the middle of last week. So as much as we all think Giants and Dodgers, the Diamondbacks are really another test for the Giants this season, in addition to the Rockies in a very difficult difficult National League West.
Yeah, Diamondbacks should be coming in here a little frisky, too. They got into a bench clear yesterday with the St. Louis Cardinals. There was an argument with Yadier Molina at home plate, and the whole thing got pretty ugly. So they're coming in dialed in and feeling frisky. And, of course, Giants killer Paul Goldschmidt will be with them. He's got only 3 hits and 30 at-bats, which means he's due, which historically, I guess, should be terrifying for a Giants pitching staff who might be just what Paul Goldschmidt is looking for.
Yeah, you're right. I think Paul Goldschmidt's thinking, all right, that's my get-hot team. I'm going to go see the Giants, and I'm going to figure it out and all of a sudden have a big series and, you know, kind of like McCutchen did, where he took his average from, what, 083 all the way up to about 250 in about 4.5 hours on Saturday. I think Goldschmidt coming in at 100 is probably thinking he's going to have himself a big series and leave San Francisco, as he's done so many different times in the past, looking more like, the MVP caliber player that he's been throughout the course of his career. I don't know that anybody's worried about Paul Goldschmidt, although the Giants certainly would hope that he can wait until after Wednesday afternoon to get rolling, but history would tell you that that's not going to necessarily be the case with him.
Our man John Dickinson at AT&T Park. Derek Holland's going to get the ball tonight, making his regular season debut down at the ballpark. A very ho-hum performance against the Dodgers in opening week. I'm guessing everyone's hoping for more this time around.
Yeah, they need a little bit more innings out of guys like him and guys like Stratton until they get Samardzija back, because they've really been having to use the bullpen a lot.
Right, this can't be Cueto and hold your breath.
Yeah, it can't be Cueto, and he's the only guy that can get you into the seventh, you know, because eventually, you talk about this team hanging on, but if you're only getting pitchers going into the fifth and sixth innings, and they're in that 4 or 5 run range when they're coming out of the game, 3-4 run range, you're just asking too much of a bullpen, and it's a young bullpen when you look at a lot of the guys like Maranta and Pierce Johnson and some of those guys in the middle relief spots. They're unproven. Now, they've pitched well to this point, but to expect that you're going to be able to continue to get through the fifth, sixth, seventh with those guys until you can get it to your Watsons and get it to your Stricklands and Will Smith when he comes back and those guys, the more you ask the youngsters to have to get out there in those situations where the game's in hand in the middle innings, I think the more you're asking for trouble, and guys like Holland and Stratton especially can help avoid that by just getting into the seventh. There's a big difference between getting into the seventh and having to be taken out with a couple out in the fifth or one out in the sixth.
I couldn't help but notice that Shohei Ohtani got into the seventh inning yesterday against the A's. That was pretty impressive,
wow.
Wasn't it?
Incredible. Can you imagine the fact that, I mean, they were talking about sending him to the minor leagues to start the season?
Right.
I mean, the guy hits 3 home runs in his designated hitter starts last week and then takes a perfect game into the seventh inning and winds up getting his second win. I mean, absolutely incredible what he's been able to do. And the A's have seen him up close and personal twice. And with the way the Angels are rolling their rotation, they're basically pitching him on a once-a-week schedule to allow him to hit and to allow him a similar rest and recovery as he had pitching in Japan, he's in a spot where the Giants are probably going to see him if they keep him on that rotation in a couple of weekends, because the Giants are actually down there for interleague play that weekend, what, of the 20th, 21st, and 22nd. So the A's got their taste, and I don't think he's done showing the Northern California folks what he's got in the tank.
He is pretty good. How about this one? The last guy to hit 3 home runs in between major league starts was Babe Ruth.
Yeah.
Was Babe
right.
Ruth. I mean, this is the Japanese Babe Ruth. You convinced me early that is a pretty good moniker for the guy, indeed. JD, always great to talk to you, man. Enjoy the ballpark this afternoon. Have a couple garlic fries before they start playing baseball tonight.
Sounds good, Damon. Garlic fries and maybe a sausage or two.
Solid. JD knows how to get it done. Thank you very much to John Dickinson for joining us. Some guy here on the text line says, wow, are you really talking standings after 8 games? Idiots. No, we said we weren't talking standings, which makes you the idiot. But thanks for listening. I'm glad you chosen 95.7 The Game. I do appreciate that. By the way, I hope you appreciate that at 5 o'clock today, 8 a.m. tomorrow, and 5 o'clock tomorrow are going to be the 3 last chances we have to qualify. Or no, will we do it on Wednesday as well? We're down to the final handful of chances to qualify a finalist for the Golden Ticket, a chance to win a pair of Warrior home playoff tickets for all their home playoff games. We are really looking forward to doing that at 5 o'clock today. That's coming up. We're going to talk to Luis Gonzalez about this Diamondback team coming up at 4:30. Looking forward to all of that. Again, if you were a Giant fan, you left AT&T Park very happy on Saturday. If you stayed late for extras and saw the McCutchen walk-off, if you were at the Giants game yesterday, I don't know how happy you left when the game ended like this.
He struck him out! You can breathe! The Dodgers hang on 2-1!
Kenley Jansen getting Brandon Belt looking at a very high strike. The call courtesy of Spectrum Sports LA. Needless to say, they were talking about that in the Giants dugout after the game. Brandon Belt on his called strike three.
Yeah, that's tough no matter how you look at it. I mean, they're humans back there, definitely. There's no doubt about it, but that's just so far out that it should never happen.
Yeah, it was easily too high. I mean, there's not much else you can say about it. It just wasn't a strike.
When pushed for more, though, Brandon Belt did say more about it.
I'm sure there's a lot of people watching on TV thinking, you know, two strikes, that situation, you have to swing if it's close. I assume at this level,
it's not close. So, I mean, I understand that they can say that all they want to, but a ball is a ball. So I'm not going to go. If I go swinging a ball right there, everybody's going to be a lot more mad that I swung at a ball and missed it. So it just is what it is.
There you go. It was a ball. Did you get it? Did you hear me? Do you feel what I'm saying? That's what Brandon Belt was saying after he struck out. Here's what Boach had to say.
Yeah, tough call at the end. You know, it's a ball, but yeah, that's the way a game goes sometimes. You know, call goes against you, ball doesn't bounce your way, but certainly it was not a strike.
There you go. Around the old Boach himself. 888-957-9570 is the number. We've got an awful lot to get into when it comes to the Warriors and the roster machinations that they're moving. We know who's going to stay, and now we know who's got to go. Omri Caspi, we're talking about you next here on the Damon Bruce Show.
Now back to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome on back to the Damon Bruce Show. It's wonderful to have you along this afternoon. We got a full 4-hour show for you, and that's a good thing because we need it today. We got an awful, awful lot to talk about, including Gianna with the very, very latest. What did you just see online?
Yeah, we got a little information about the latest with Reuben Foster, and this is according to Dave Lombardi from The Athletic. So we've hit the week where the Santa Clara County DA is expected to make a final decision on potential charges against Foster for the domestic violence weapons arrest. Placeholder Raymond is scheduled for April 12th, which is this Thursday, and the DA's office is said to expect a decision around then. So we should have some more answers because we've heard nothing since everything's happened this Thursday.
We still haven't heard anything from the NFL in terms of a suspension, if this will trigger the automatic 6-game suspension. Needless to say, it's time for Reuben Foster to clean up his act. The last thing he wants to do is become Alden Smith Part 2 Electric Boogaloo, or in Alden's case, Electric Monitoring Bracelet, which I believe, I don't know, did he try to take it off? I don't know. I just know that Alden Smith was arrested again this weekend for breaking the rules of his probation. And all I can tell you is that Alden Smith is now so often arrested, it's hardly even newsworthy.
I mean, he is just spiraling. Poor guy, man. This is like...
Oh, I mean, there's...
Enough.
There's absolutely no doubt in my mind that he has no ability in his own mind to get right. He is as lost... He's like a confused old lady wandering down the highway in her bathrobe. He is lost.
Seriously.
Absolutely lost. So, you know... I will never be surprised to hear that Alden Smith got arrested. What continues to surprise me is Alden Smith is still alive, because he is doing everything he can to make sure that the opposite happens. He is living, what's the old saying? Live your best life. Mm-hmm. Alden Smith, he's living his worst life.
Yeah, definitely.
It is
sad.
Sad. Very, very sad. It'd be wonderful to see that guy get his act together. He seems incapable of doing so. We also wanted to come here and talk about other things, not exactly happy things, but things that in sports that sometimes have to happen because them's just the breaks. Omri Caspi was brought in to be a stretch 3-4 for the Golden State Warriors. They wanted him to pull defense out to the perimeter, be a little bit of a wing threat with the shot, with the ability to grab a rebound, push a tempo. Like, Caspi was brought in to be something that, unfortunately, he never became. So not only did Caspi not live up to his end of the bargain, and look, was he hurt? Yes. Did injuries change the arc of the season that he was having into the disappointing season that he had? Yes. But that's called sports. And we have to operate and deal with this information as it's being returned to us in real time. And part of the real-time information that the Warriors are now dealing with is that Steph Curry will not be in this lineup for real anytime before the playoffs start, which meant that Quinn Cook's role with this team went from a side stage to the main stage. Quinn Cook was needed more than Omri Caspi. It's not that Caspi's unneeded or unloved or unwanted. They just needed another position more. It's a lot like, basically Omri Caspi is Jose Calderon, but actually hit the floor. Same thing happened to Calderon last year. They wanted him, then Durant got injured, then all of a sudden Matt Barnes made more sense to be the other body on this roster than it made for Jose Calderon to be on the other body on this roster. And that's where Steve Kerr and company were with Omri Caspi.
It actually wasn't a difficult decision because he was injured, but it was difficult to go ahead and go through with it because, you know, he's been with us all season long, and we love Omri and what he brought to the team. Great teammate. It was difficult to sit with him and tell him we were going to do this, but it was the only decision we could make under the circumstances, and we have to have Quinn for the playoffs, and we couldn't release anybody else. Everybody else is healthy and playing and or under, you know, under contract or team control for next year in Patrick's case. And so this was the decision that we had to come to. It wasn't fun, but the main thing is that Omri is just a pro and a great teammate, and he handled everything beautifully last night. And it felt awful, but, you know, you have to do what you have to do.
Got to do it. Again, the Warriors were painted into a corner they didn't want to be in, but here they are, and they have to operate from the reality of that corner. Not the way they want things to be, but the way things actually are. So even Steve Kerr said at the beginning of the soundbite, it wasn't a tough decision. It was a disappointing action that we had to take, but it wasn't a tough decision. From a basketball standpoint, this is pretty obvious. I guess for Khalil Mack, it wasn't a tough decision to be a no-show for his first day of voluntary off-season workout programs. Now, the key word is voluntary. In voluntary off-season workout programs. But believe me, if I were an NFL team, the word voluntary would only be there for legal purposes. Every voluntary gathering of my team would be absolutely mandatory. That's how I would run business. And believe me, that's how John Gruden wants to run business too. Voluntary is for the guys who don't want to be winners. Guys who want to be winners will be here, period. Well, we know that Khalil Mack wants to be a winner. We also know that he wants a new contract. Max's absence, first reported by NFL Network, the workouts which Gruden said would be heavy on strength and conditioning, they are voluntary, and Mack is awaiting a contract extension. In the final year of a rookie deal, the number 5th overall pick, number 5 overall, is expected to get a massive contract. He's about to become the highest paid defensive player in football. Now, it's not unprecedented for it to take its time to work out an extension. Got a story here by Paul Gutierrez on ESPN saying that, you know, Derek Carr, Raiders second round pick after Mack in 2014, didn't get in his extension until June 23rd last year. Mack has got three straight seasons of at least 10.5 sacks. He made NFL history in 2015 when he became the first player to be named first-team All-Pro at two positions in the same season, at outside linebacker and defensive end. His sacks have gone down from 15 to 11 to 10.5 in the past three seasons. Remember, he wanted 30. But it really isn't his fault. And I'm just going to tell you right now that for the, well, the Raiders basically have one defensive player that matters and then 11 other or 10 other guys around him. For the one guy that really matters to not be there at the very tone-setting beginning meeting, the first time you would have ever formally met John Gruden. Like, I know this guy's getting ready to do some big business and has been given the advice to not be there, but I don't see how that's good for business of winning football games.
No.
I don't see how that's good for the business of team building. And if you're John Gruden, you got to be a little bit frustrated that he's not there. Of course, Gruden is saying all the right things. Did you see that the Carolina Panthers are down to two bidders to become the next owner of the Carolina Panthers? The sale appears to be near. David Tepper, who's the hedge fund billionaire who many NFL owners pointed to as the preferred choice to buy the team, says he's out. He is not interested in paying $2.5 billion, which means that the club's sale is probably going to go somewhere else. Michael Rubin, who was going to be a partner with Steph Curry, the guy who founded Fanatics,
Yeah. He
pulled out because the money just didn't make any more sense. Their departures now narrow the field to two members of the most exclusive and expensive owners club in North America. A guy named Ben Navarro, who owns Sherman Financial Group, an investment firm, and Alan Kestenbaum. He is the chief executive of Bedrock Industries, which owns and operates metal and mining companies. According to several people familiar with the auction, Navarro is believed to have offered $2.6 billion, though it is unclear if he needs help from other investors to cover that price. The reason why they really like that Fanatics guy is because he's worth $11 billion and didn't need any other people backing him up. Like, he had the money in his pocket. It didn't take a village.
That would make sense.
To buy the Carolina Panthers. Obviously, the sale of the Panthers is being widely watched by the league because the final price is going to become a benchmark for the sale of other teams. And Sports Bankers says that the Denver Broncos, the New Orleans Saints, and the Tennessee Titans could all be changing hands in the next few years because the patriarchs of each of those teams has died. Which means that unless there's some sort of generational succession plan, those teams could be up for sale. And they want to establish a new price here with the Panthers. Jerry Richardson, the Panthers founder and owner, said that he would sell the team in December shortly after an article in Sports Illustrated linked him to allegations of sexual harassment. Richardson was Richardson was initially seeking at least $3 billion for his team, but trimmed his expectations when no potential buyers emerged at the $3 billion price tag.
So he'll have to settle for 2.6, apparently.
Well, even at 2.5, if that's going to be the price, the Panthers would set a record for the highest paid price for the sale of any team, nearly $1 billion more than the Buffalo Bills, who were sold for a $1.4 billion sum in 2014. Again, the guy who they wanted to buy the team with a net worth of $11 billion, he's out. He was already vetted because he already owns a minority stake in the Pittsburgh Steelers. So it would have been, it was like the NBA saying yes to Joe Lacob. That was easy to do because he was a minority owner in the Boston Celtics. He'd already been vetted, all the I's dotted and T's crossed on who is Joe Lacob. Right. What would he do? What would he mean to the league? Like, they got to know the guy. So, just very, very interesting. By the way, the team plans on staying in Charlotte, but there are likely to be a few restrictions to prevent a buyer from moving the team. The team owns the stadium. The city spent about tens of million dollars on renovations, so any move would include paying Charlotte back for those renovations. But the Panthers could leave after that. And all I'm going to tell you right now is that the city of Oakland is losing the Raiders. Why not have somebody buy the Panthers? You can move them out here and you can even rename them and it would be historically accurate. Be the Oakland Black Panthers. Tell me that's not a great, great idea.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O' Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.